Get your Bibles out tonight, if you would, please. Get your Bibles out, and I want to turn to Malachi chapter number 3. Malachi chapter 3. I'll give you the title of the lesson tonight, and it is this: Rebuking the Financial Devourer. Rebuking the Financial Devourer. Malachi chapter number 3, please. Malachi chapter 3. I also want you to find then verse number 7. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 7. Stand with me, if you would, please, as we read the scripture. Malachi chapter 3. We're going to look at verse number 7. The Bible says this: Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, Wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, Wherein have we robbed thee? The answer here is, In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And let's pray. Father, help us as we study the book, the only book you ever wrote. Help us tonight to believe it. Help us tonight to want to learn it and live it. Now, Holy Spirit of God, control our time together. And might we leave this time together tonight being better Christians, please. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we continue talking about the subject of finances tonight, rebuking the financial devourer. If you were listening there in Malachi 3:11, it said, And I will rebuke the devourer. Now, what I want to point out to you is, he'd been talking about tithing and the offering and giving, and then there's the absence of proper giving. And then God said, if you'll give right, I can rebuke the devourer. And so it is in reference to our money primarily, or our possessions. Now, there's a couple of other verses I want to read to you. If you want to turn to them, you can. I want you to turn quickly. The book of Haggai, chapter 1, listen to verse 5, 6, and 7, and it says this: Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Now, God said to us earlier in Malachi chapter 3 that our substance, our income, our money can be eaten up if we don't do right. Now, it talks about people that have, they put their wages into a bag with holes. Now, that, so you understand, that would be like saying, ladies, you put your money in your purse, and when you began to walk away, there was a hole in it, and the money just started falling out. Men, that's like him saying that you put your money in your wallet, but there was a hole in it, and so the money fell out. Now, there's another verse that I want to read to us tonight before I start the actual lesson. It's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and we're going to look at verse number 13, I think. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and I'm going to read to you verses 12 and 13. And it says this: And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Now, I want to stop here. I want to point out to you that word devour was used. God said the locusts could devour your land. Now, how does a locust do that? They eat. In the Bible, there's a passage of scripture about the vultures devouring someone or something. So, when God tells us if we'll do the right thing financially, He can rebuke the devourer. He's talking about those things that would eat up our finances. In the Bible, you'll see often the word devour associated with fire. So, you know, if your house were to start on fire, that fire would devour your home, burn it up, turn it into ashes, or render it useless, or cause you to suffer loss. So, if we took the time, and we're not going to, and we just trace the word devour, you would see there's all sorts of ways that things are devoured. But what happens is, they're taken away, they're rendered useless, they're eliminated, they're burned up, they're eaten up, and sometimes devour comes immediately, and sometimes the devour is slow. You all know how big a locust is? Now, it may be a locust may not eat everything quickly, but it could eat everything in time. So, he said, I would like to rebuke the devourer for your sake. And that's talking about financial loss. He also used this in Malachi chapter 3. He said, he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. Now, what's that talking about? Here's someone that maybe they had grapes, or they had a farm. Maybe they were raising vegetables or crops. And now he's saying, if you'll do the right thing, I can protect your business, if you will. And of course, your business is how you earn your money. There were in back when this part of the Bible would have been written, the primary business would have been that of farming and producing food and the things that were needed to keep someone alive. Then he also mentioned, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the tree in the field. So every one of those, the destroying of the ground, the fruit of the ground, the loss of the vine, rebuking the devourer, it all had to do with financial loss. So God is telling us there are reasons why we suffer loss financially. Now, I want to say something, and then I'm going to make a bunch of practical points this evening. But I want to tell you, I don't think that it's smart for you to judge somebody else, and I don't think somebody else ought to judge you. But I would recommend that you take a good long look at yourself and your the way you handle yourself in life and how that's associated to finances. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a verse or two. I'll make an application about this thing of rebuking the financial devourer. Now, you say, who is that? Well, I think the devil sometimes takes things from us. I think sometimes we lose things that's a part of what God is saying. We cause it. We bring on ourselves financial dilemma. But I don't know. I think somehow God may have a part in retracting things from us. That doesn't make God a bad God. I mean, let's face it, if you tell your child, if you don't do thus and so, there's a certain blessing that you're not going to get. That doesn't make you a bad parent. And God is never a bad God. God's good all the time. And so, who is the devourer? Well, sometimes I suppose it could be the devil. Sometimes we bring something on ourselves. And I think there are times when God retracts His blessing from us. But let me make some applications tonight in regard to how could you and I rebuke the devourer? And we're talking about the financial devourer. Now, I'm going to teach tonight is part one. Next week, I'm going to teach a part two to this this very thought. And so there'll be a part two about rebuking the financial devourer. Now, you might be a little surprised. You say, preacher, are you about to just talk about money all night? No, I'm going to show you the things that I found in the Bible where God said, this behavior is going to cost you financially. You're going to lose because of it. Okay, number one, I think we can rebuke the financial devourer by being moral. By being moral. And I'm talking about sexual morality. Listen, I'm not going to read all of this, but in Proverbs chapter 5, there is a passage of scripture. I'm going to read to you a couple of verses from it. It says this. Proverbs 5:3 says, for the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. When this is talking about the strange woman, this is talking about a woman that's up to no good, and she's an immoral woman. Then in verse number 10, in reference to that strange woman, it says this, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. So between Proverbs 5:3 and Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 10, what's being said is there's a strange woman out there, and you go yoking up with her and become immoral with her. You do wrong. Now we're talking about adultery. We're talking about fornication. God said that strangers will be filled with thy wealth. Now that is the loss of money as a result of immorality. So if you want to rebuke the financial devourer, be moral. Young people, those of you that are not married, and maybe you're still in high school, or you've never married, let me tell you something. You want to help your future finances, keep yourself pure and clean. And you say, what does that have to do with anything? I don't know. I didn't write the book. I just teach it. And God said, there is a financial charge for immorality. That's the concept that's being taught here. You didn't get away with it. It cost you. Probably cost other people associated with you. So it says, it tells that the result of this moral misbehavior is that strangers will be filled with your wealth. Now, let me tell you, those of you that are married, let me teach you a couple things real quick. Let's say that you're married and you go out and you commit adultery. Well, if you get a divorce, that's going to cost you money. If you then have to pay child support, that's going to cost you money. If you have to hire a lawyer, that's going to cost you money. If you get a disease for your immorality, I'm going to guess that's going to cost you money. I've watched people start relationships with married people, start relationships with people that they're not married to, and spend money on gifts and things of that nature. Well, that was a waste of money. That's a loss of money. And obviously, someone gets involved in prostitution, that will cost you money. And I could go on and on. The basic concept I want you to understand is immorality will cost you money. It just will. Number two, you could rebuke the financial devourer by not spending too much time in bed. You can rebuke the financial devourer by not spending too much time in bed. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 9, 10, and 11. Let me read it to you. It says this. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man. Now, there it's talking about sleep, and when it says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When thou shalt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet out of thy sleep, yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. What those words "a little" means? That means a little more. You already had enough, but you decided I want more. I say you can rebuke the financial devourer, but not spending too much time in bed. Did you hear what it said? It says thy poverty shall come. Why? Because you sleep too much. Okay, let me make a practical application. You don't get up, so you're late to work. That'll cost you money. I'll tell you this. I know people that they don't come to church. when they ought to come to church. Look, do you know how many people sleep in on Sunday morning and don't come to church? Do you realize that if the pastor was teaching on how to handle your money according to the Bible, and then somebody is sleeping instead of coming to church when the pastor is teaching on how to handle your money, you're going to lose money because of that. You just weren't there to hear the teaching or the preaching of the Word of God. Calling in sick when you're not, so you can lay in bed, yep, you'll lose money. Sleeping on the job, you'll lose money. Let me say, sleep will cost you money. For instance, a student that sleeps in class when they're being taught, so they don't learn what they're supposed to learn, and everybody that stayed awake then supports them through the welfare system, because they couldn't go get a job and support themselves. They slept. They stayed up and played video games all night and then slept during their first hour class in economics, while everybody else paid for the school that they go to. That'll cost you. Fall asleep at the wheel. Probably going to cost you something. You know, I am tickled at how true the Bible is. Amen. The Bible teaches that not sleeping right, the right time, will cost you money. The Bible teaches that immorality is going to cost you. Let me go on. Number three. You can rebuke the financial devourer by not getting your money in a wicked fashion. You can rebuke the financial devourer by not getting your money in a wicked fashion. Now, let me read to you from Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 3. The Bible says this: "The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked." He casteth away. So, I think this. Do yourself a favor. Don't get your money in an evil fashion. I don't think you ought to sell drugs. You say, I'm going to get money out of that. That'll cost you. It'll cost you. I don't think anybody ought to be involved in pornography in regard to the exchange of money. I don't see how a Christian could work somewhere that sold pornography and they could stand at a cash register and sell someone pornography. I don't see how a Christian could do that. Is the humidity too high or are you shocked? Listen, I don't think we ought to gain our money by stealing or alcohol. I don't think you ought to make your money off of anything wicked. I don't think you ought to be an operator for some sex call organization. And maybe it just means that here he says he casteth away the substance of the wicked. Listen, I'm not trying to pass judgment on you. I don't know one thing about anybody's finances in this place except for mine. But I will tell you this. If you live in a wicked way, but somehow you can't come up with money, and you say, it just seems like I get money, it just goes right out the window. Here the Bible says, if you live in a wicked way, it's just like throwing your money out the window. Now, you say, well, let me ask you. You hear me preach something, you say, well, I disagree with that. And then I preach something a week later, well, I disagree with that. And I preach something a week later, well, I disagree with that. And then you have financial problems. Is there any chance that you disagree with the Bible and you're living in a wicked way, and therefore you're paying your financial dues? Because God said, I will throw your money out the window if you're wicked. Right. All right, let's move on. Number four. You can rebuke the financial devourer by being diligent. By being diligent. My dad, I'm so glad, my dad taught me a lot of wonderful, wonderful things. Just kind of country logic. But Dad used to say, the harder I work, the luckier I get. And the key to life is not waiting for your ship to come in. It's hard work. It's hard work. I'm waiting for my ship. I'm waiting for the big break. Go make the break happen. That's what you do. But you can rebuke the financial devourer by being diligent. Now, when we all look at that and say, preacher, that is just common sense. No, that's Bible. The way where we got that common sense is from a never dying, all intelligent God that he developed that concept. Proverbs 10:4 says this, "He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich." So there God said, you work, you get money, you succeed, you don't work, you don't get money, and you don't succeed unless you elect a socialist president that will sell you up the river and let the hardworking people take care of everybody else. But I don't think we're dumb enough to do that. To rebuke the financial devourer, you're to be diligent. Let me tell you again. Let me just take school, for instance. You ought to work hard at school. Now, let me tell you something, young people. You ought to want to get the very best grade you can possibly get. You say, well, preacher, I can't seem to get A's. There are people in this room, you would be far ahead in life if you would have studied harder in school. But you didn't. You played. You were lazy. You wouldn't do your homework. You didn't work hard to pass tests. You were more interested in throwing a ball and having fun and being popular than studying. That's going to cost you somewhere down the line. It's going to cost you money. Money. Laziness in school. Laziness in high school. Laziness in college. I was with the executive vice president at one of the colleges that I graduated from. We were preaching together a week ago, and during the meeting, when I was standing in the pulpit preaching, I looked back at him and I said, "Sir, I want you to know that when I was a student in your college, I never fell asleep in one single class. And I burnt the midnight oil to pass my classes, and I got the very best grades I could possibly get." Did you know that hard work results in a thing called success? Success. But diligence produces financial success. Hey, parents, don't get lazy in your child rearing. Work at it. Laziness in our service to God. Well, here's what I believe. God is saying, if you're lazy, you will not prosper financially. I think people that are lazy about the way they serve God, somehow, in God's economy, you're losing some money. Do you know what marriages that are struggling need? Work. You work at it. It costs you something. And if you'll work, be diligent about your marriage, I think God says there's some financial prosperity in it. Not only the fact that your relationship's better. Housewives, don't be lazy. Say, well, I'm not earning any money for that housework. You may be rebuking the financial devourer. Because God said you're going to lose in life. And now, here it says, he becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. What's he saying? I will bless you financially. I'm going to bless you in life. I'm going to rebuke the devourer if you'll work hard. And that's not just talking about working hard at work down at the shop. It's talking about being a hard worker in life. Okay, so here's what we've said. Number one, you can rebuke the financial devourer by being moral. Number two, you can rebuke the financial devourer by not spending too much time in bed or sleeping. Number three, you can rebuke the financial devourer by not getting your money in a wicked fashion. Number four, you can rebuke the financial devourer by being diligent. Number five, you can rebuke the financial devourer by not co-signing a note or a loan for somebody that you don't really know. Let me say it again. You can rebuke the financial devourer by not co-signing a note for someone that you don't really know. Let me read to you from Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 15. The Bible says this, "He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure." Now, when it's talking about surety, that is helping someone to secure a loan. And so that's like we, in this day and age, we would call it co-signing. Now, it says for a stranger. You say, what does that mean by stranger? It means someone, and you don't know their character. what will happen? It says, you will smart for it. Now, you're co-signing for finances. So you're going to smart, you're going to hurt in the area of finances. You know what? I don't think there's anything wrong with someone co-signing for another. But if I were going to co-sign for somebody, I'd want to make sure they had a good record and they pay their bills on time and they get up in the morning and they go to work and they've done everything that they can do and they've got a good reputation and they're known for paying their bills on time. And if you don't know them that well, then God said, I wouldn't sign that note. I wouldn't sign that note. So be careful. You sign for a loan for someone, but you don't know their character, you will hurt yourself financially by doing so. You say, wonder if they're not good with their finances, and you want to sign for them anyway. Then you can go ahead and do that. Just have a good attitude and get ready to suffer your loss.
Yes, sir.
And when you start losing and it affects your credit, don't be mad at them. God told you not to do it unless you are big enough to do it and take the hit. And that's just what the Bible teaches.
Right.
So, smart. It'll hurt you. So rebuke the financial devourer by not co-signing a note for someone that you don't know. And that's don't know their character. I've got to move on. Number 6. You can rebuke the financial devourer by not being stingy with your money and your belongings. Again, that's number 6? Number 6. You can rebuke the financial devourer by not being stingy with your money or with your belongings. Let me read a passage of Scripture to you. Proverbs 11:24 says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. Now, that word poverty there gets my attention. When it says there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, have you ever heard someone tell you you can't outgive God? And that's true. Here God is saying, scattering, you have to scatter seed for you to have a harvest. But let me tell you something. One little kernel of corn planted brings forth a whole stalk. God is saying, if you scatter, you then get increase from scattering. You give. And he said, I can give back in a bigger way. But then he said, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. I'll never forget when I went to church for the very first time and the pastor said, you ought to give. And then the pastor said, you ought to tithe. And he said, if you will tithe, you will have more money. And I got to tell you, I was sitting in my seat and I said, that is stupid. I am not that ignorant. There's no way. Can I tell you something? I've been doing it since I was 16, and because of the tithe, I think I have more. He was right. He was right. Now God commands the tithe, and that's not what this lesson's about, and I'll get past this in a moment. Offerings are commanded, but that has nothing to do. God doesn't tell you how much to give in an offering. A tithe is a tithe. That's a tenth. The offering part, God says, on top of your tithe, you're to give offerings. The Bible says, give and it shall be given. So God is saying here that if you'll give like you're supposed to, you will increase. But if you don't, then it tendeth to poverty. And I will have a whole lesson about the tithe and things later on, but I needed to touch on it as a part of this thing of rebuking the financial devourer. That's what Malachi chapter 3 is all about anyway. That's where the scriptural foundation of the whole lesson tonight comes from. Number seven. Rebuke the financial devourer by not making our families unnecessarily angry with us. Rebuke the financial devourer by not making our families unnecessarily angry with us. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 29 says this, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. Now, the wind. You can't spend the wind. You can't buy food with the wind. You can't pay your bills with the wind. You're going to and what's it talk about? You inherit everything I've got in my hand right now. Nothing. Young people, listen to me. Don't you hurt your parents. You say, why? It's going to hurt you financially somewhere along the way. No, you know, you understand the Bible says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Can I tell you something? The longer you live, the more money you can earn. The longer your day seems to be, the more money you can earn. God is not going to help you to be financially successful, young people, when you hurt the people God told you not to hurt. You'll hurt yourself. Your inheritance will be less. You say, well, I know somebody that was rude to their family and they inherited a lot of money. Well, let me tell you something. Just think of how much they would have inherited had they not been bad. See, the Bible is talking about inheriting the wind. I think even with our families, I think there is a right and a wrong way to take a stand, and we need to take a stand for what we believe. But could I say to you that if your family's not saved and you feel like there's a scriptural stance that needs to be taken, it ought to be taken kindly. It ought to be taken with some wisdom. And it ought to be taken with love. I won a man to Christ. He was a devout Catholic. And he was as bullheaded a man you could meet, and curt and rude. I tried to help him, but he told me, he said, I'm going to visit my mom, and told me he's going to the Midwest to visit his mom. And I knew his background. I knew that she was a devout Catholic. He was a devout Catholic. He's now saved. The last thing I said to him before he left, I said, now, Doc, be good to her while you're there. Oh, no problem. No problem. Boy, He came back. I said, how'd it go? He said, well, once I told her the Pope was the vicar of hell and she's going to burn forever, she told me I might as well pack my duds and get out. I also know this. She passed away and left everything to his brother. Do you know there's a way to tell someone that if they're not saved, they need to be born again without being hateful and spiteful and mean? And let me tell you something. If your mother believes wrong, she gave you life. And you owe her a debt. And there is a respect that is necessary. And the Bible says here, he that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. I'll tell you another story. I know a pastor that was... He had a child that went out, and that child just started to live like the devil. I mean, vile and nasty and wicked and hateful. And that pastor said to me one day, he said, I cut that child out of my will. He said, I've got two kids. That one's getting nothing. I'm leaving everything else to the other. Now, here the Bible talks about inheriting the wind. Why? By not handling family right. Now, I don't think you ought to ever dip your scriptural sails to get money out of your family. I've never done that, nor will I do that. Knock on wood, God helping me, that I've got sense in my head. I'll never sell out what I believe for any money. But I think God is saying, be kind, love, do right by your family. Now, always do right by your Heavenly Father first. Okay, let me go on. Number 8, we can rebuke the financial devourer by getting money by work, not by wickedness. By work, not by wickedness. Let me give you a verse. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11 says this, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, and he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Now, we go back to the concept of working. We talked about diligence earlier, and that I was applying it basically to diligence in life. Now, we're talking about actual labor. And the Bible teaches that when we try to get money through vain or wrong methods, rather than labor, we're hurting ourselves financially. Vanity, it's an unsatisfactory way. You shouldn't steal the money. You shouldn't gamble to get the money. You shouldn't be a shyster. Let me tell you something. I really don't believe in gambling. And I, you know, there are people out there that can't pay their bills that buy lottery tickets. I just don't think I understand that. It's very hard to want to give somebody money that says I have a need, but they're smoking it away, drinking it away, gambling it away. What are we thinking? What are we thinking? So God said, by labor shalt thou increase. So God's telling us you can rebuke the financial devourer by not getting your money anyway except for work. Somebody help me out over there. Number nine, it says this. You can rebuke the financial devourer by willingly listening to the correction of others. And look right this way. You can rebuke the financial devourer by willingly listening to the correction of others. Let me read this verse to you. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 8 says this. The ransom of a man's life are his riches, but the poor heareth not rebuke. God's saying, when you won't be corrected, that's going to cost you. The poor, they don't hear rebuke. Poverty comes to us when we don't listen. Okay, young people, let me again apply this to you. Mom and dad tell you there's a certain way to behave. You don't behave that way, that's going to cost you. Now, it may cost you and what they call it time out. I wish they would have had time out when I was growing up. Mine was time down. Man down. But the Bible's telling us that when we won't listen to correction, there's going to be financial issues. You know, I know some people, they're never wrong. It's always everybody else, and you can't correct them. Okay, listen, I believe in Sunday school. The Sunday school teacher does not have to be teaching on finances. But the Sunday school teacher could be teaching on any subject that corrects you, and when you won't listen to the correction, God may say, that's going to cost you. That's going to cost you. Listen, you work somewhere. Could I recommend that you let the boss correct you? You say, why should I? Well, they're going to look for somebody to promote. They're going to give somebody a raise. They're going to give somebody some overtime. If you can't take correction, that's going to cost you. That's going to cost you. Can I recommend something else to you? When the police officer is speaking to you, it might be a good idea to let them correct you. You say, why? It could cost you. It could cost you. I even think there are times when a husband and wife could help each other. I'm not talking about attacking each other. But we can help each other. We can guide each other. I think we can even give some correction to one another. But if you can't take that, I know men that are so thick-headed, they will not let their wives tell them when they're not doing something right, and it just costs them. I think anybody that is a know-it-all other than Jesus Christ, that know-it-all is going to cost them something. Young people, let your parents correct you. If I were you, I would listen to the correction that comes from the pulpit.
Yes, sir.
Because if you don't listen to that correction, it's probably going to cost you. And I'm talking about money.
Yes,
sir. Let me go on. Number 10. You can rebuke the devourer by being quiet when it's time to be quiet and not talking too much. You can rebuke the devourer by being quiet when it's time to be quiet and not talking too much. Let me read to you from Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 23. It says this. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. It's talking about if you talk too much, it's going to cost you money. It's going to cost you money. I believe this. I believe when you're at work, you're to be at work. And you're to work while you're at work. Not stand around and talk to all the other employees. If you talk too much at work, that'll cost you. I'm glad that I am not a manager in an office or a factory in this day and age. There'd be a lot of unemployed people Because they're constantly pulling out their cell phones and not working. What are they doing? Talking, conversing. You say, I was texting. That's finger talking. You say, Siri was doing it. No, you had to talk to get Siri to do it. That'll cost you. That will cost you. Here it says, the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Let me explain. That means if you don't use your mouth right, it's costing you financially. Can I tell you something? God hates gossip. You know what God will do? If you're a gossip, that's going to cost you. You say, I'm moral. Yeah, but your mouth is full of gossip and it's probably costing you money. You say, well, I think I'm pretty good with money. You're not good with money if you're a gossip. You're losing money. The devourer is tapping into your financial system. Everybody here that's in school, can I recommend something to you? Don't talk while the teacher's teaching. Why? You're using the wrong part of your face. While the teacher's teaching, you're to use your ears. You're to use your eyes. In most cases, not your mouth. So you talk when you're supposed to be listening. You're not learning. Now somebody else is going to learn how to be successful. And you get paid more when you know what you're supposed to do in life. I hope you know that. I really believe the reason why, not everybody, but I believe there are people that are unemployed that don't have any money because they can't keep their mouth shut. They won't work hard. They sleep all the time. They're lazy. They were disrespectful to their parents. They don't let anybody correct them. You know, a person like that's pretty hard to employ. So, we can rebuke the financial devourer by being quiet when it's time to be quiet and not spending too much time talking. In our day and age, it doesn't bother anybody to spend $300, $400, $500, $600, $700 for a telephone. Why? Talking is pretty important. You learn more by listening than by talking. You earn more in most cases. Let me move on. Number 11. You can rebuke the financial devourer by caring for the poor and by meeting their needs. You can rebuke the financial devourer by caring for the poor and by helping to meet their needs. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 13 says this, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. And this is talking about you're going to hurt yourself. I'm glad we fed about 100 folks on Sunday morning here at our church. I don't know, everybody that we serve food to wasn't necessarily poor, but a good batch of them were. I wish you could have watched them eat the food. You could tell they appreciated it. You know what I think? I think God will bless a church that tries to reach out and help the poor. I think God will bless people that would try to reach out and help the poor. And let me say again, you can rebuke the financial devourer by caring for the poor. And that's what the Bible's talking about. That's one reason why we give to missions. That's one reason why we keep our bus ministry going here. I think we're supposed to care about people. I think we're supposed to include. My mentor told me this a long, long time ago. He said, when you're counseling businessmen and they want to talk to you about portfolio, he said, of course, they're to tithe and there are many things that you can teach them about investing. And he and I talked about that. He said, there are a couple things they ought to always include. They ought to include the widows, fatherless, and the poor. He said, that is something that ought to be in the portfolio of every successful man's giving. Because that will yield greater interest than the stock market in most cases. And even if they didn't see it down here, they'll see it up there. Right. Let me go on. I've got to hurry. Number 12. You can rebuke the financial devourer by not loving pleasure and overly enjoying the pleasures of life. You can rebuke the financial devourer by not loving pleasure and overly enjoying the pleasures of life. Let me read to you from Proverbs 21:17, where it says this, "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich." Now, it says they're going to be a poor man. Somebody could be a poor person from what? Just being all about pleasure. It's all about pleasure. Be careful loving play too much. Loving entertainment too much. Now look, you work hard, you can play and enjoy some entertainment. But some people live for pleasure. They live to be entertained. What's this talking about? I'd be careful. I call them big boys, toys. And I know people that they will do all sorts of elaborate things for themselves, but then they can't pay their bills on time. You say, they're poor. No, I know rich people. People that you and I would consider rich. It's not how much money you have. It's how you use what you have. And God's warning us here that if we're too caught up in pleasure, we'll end up being poor because of it. Look, can I recommend something? If you can't make your mortgage payment on time, if you can't make your car payment on time, if you can't tithe, I probably wouldn't be going to Hawaii twice a year. Trade down on cars. Get a smaller house. You say, well, I wouldn't like all that. Okay, shore it up a little bit and stop wasting money on the pleasures of life. I know poor people that can pay all their bills on time and rich people that can't. It's not how much you have. It's what you are. And a lot of times what happens is you get a little money, you start spoiling yourself, and you get caught up in pleasure. It's all about pleasure. For some, if they don't have steak two or three times a week, they feel cheated. Now, steak at our house is bologna and hot dogs. And I might throw in Spam and Vienna sausages. And we eat a lot of eggs. When I get a steak, I'm thrilled. Some of it doesn't mean anything to you anymore. Watch being so caught up in pleasure, it can cost you financially. So let me read the verse to you. If you don't like any of my explanations, listen to the verse. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. Now you go figure out what that means. You can apply it any way you want, but just listen to the verse. Let me give you one more point and we'll be done for tonight. But be back, because the next lesson is part two. All right? Point number 13. You can rebuke the financial devourer by not drinking booze and intoxicating beverages. You can rebuke the financial devourer by not drinking or getting involved in intoxicating beverages. Let me read again to you the verse that we just read for point number 12. Proverbs 21:17 says, "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich." Now, there's a lot of applications for this, but first of all, the Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse number 1, "Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise." Does anybody know the opposite of wise? Fool is the opposite of wise. Okay, so, but let me make a little application for you here. Now, You get to drinking, and then you go out and drive, and when you get pulled over for drinking while intoxicated, that's going to cost you. And then when you wreck your car because of it, that's going to cost you. And then if you wreck your car because you were drunk or high, then your insurance rates are going to go up. That's going to cost you. Now, let me explain. You know, that liquor, it can ruin your health. Well, that's going to cost you. Then you can't go to work because you're hungover. That's going to cost you. Then the mistakes that you make just generally in life because you're intoxicated. That's going to cost you. How about just get this? How about the money you could have given to missions, but you just want to get drunk? You spent your missions money on liquor. Was that a good choice? Missions? I was going to say Mogan David. Is there, does anybody know, is there still Mogan David? Okay. There used to be. I don't know if there still is. But just think about the choice. Maybe somebody says to me, I can't give to the Lord. But you went to the refrigerator, right now they got liquor. I can't tithe. But you drink it up. You're making a choice. But let me just, again, if you don't like any of my illustrations or applications, listen to the Word of God. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Now you figure it out. So, I've given you 13 ways that we can rebuke the financial devourer. Next time, I'll give you another dozen or so. Each one will have a scripture. And if I were you, if there's something there that you wonder about, look the verses up. Figure it up for yourself. But in Malachi 3, verse 11, it said, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes." What's a devourer? It's like the locust. It's like the vulture. It's like the fire. Something comes in, takes away the prosperity. As a result, in this case, of not doing what we're to do scripturally.